Hallelujah. Let's never underestimate what we see God doing in a place. Never, never. Because when God's moving by His Spirit, you don't know what's happening when somebody's on the floor, full of joy. You look at them and go, oh, that's just joy. You don't know. You have no clue what God's doing, what God's downloading into their heart, what God's setting them free from. I never want to take anything that I see for granted. I never do. Hello. Every time I come into a meeting, I welcome the Holy Spirit, say, you tell me what to say. We'll do whatever you want, Lord. We're not going to be doing our own thing. This has got nothing to do with us. This has got to do with everything about you. That's what it's about. Because people come in here, they get set free, get set on fire, and then they go and ignite another church. They go and ignite another county. They go and ignite another city. They might even go and ignite another country. Are you listening to me? People say, oh, you do that joy stuff again. Yes. Why? Because it's the move of the Holy Ghost. Because people are being set free. Listen, if we're not going to do the joy stuff, what are we going to do then? Depression stuff? We're going to have another dead meeting? We're going to have another dry church? Hello? Well, there's so many dead and dry churches over the Metroplex, we sure don't need another one. What we need is the Holy Ghost. What we need is a move, a wind of the Spirit to blow. We need the fire of God to rain down upon us. And I tell you right now, I feel like I'm in my spirit. I feel like we're a spark away. That's what I feel. I feel like we are about to see this thing just explode. I'm telling you right now, I got excitement in my spirit. This is not our first revival. This might be the first time we've done a Sunday and a Wednesday for 8 months, but this is not our first revival. I know when the Spirit of God's doing things. I can feel that. I know what's going on. Hello, I know a little more than what people think I know, because I know the voice of the Lord. I know the voice of the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, God's up to something. We cannot be in a place for 8 months on a Sunday and a Wednesday night and cry out to God and shout out to God and hungry and desperate and thirsty, and then God doesn't do anything. God's about to move by His Spirit way beyond what we can even begin to imagine or think. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I understand there's other churches that are kicking against the move and they don't want the move, but listen, when the flood comes, they're not going to have a choice. They're either going to get in or get out or get run over, but they're not going to have a choice. Are you listening to me? I don't want to wait on revival. What are we waiting for? I don't want to pray for revival. What are we praying for? Why don't we just have it? Why don't we just have God move? If we're going to pray, let's pray that the church get hungry. Let's pray that the church get desperate. Let's pray that the church get determined to press in to the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! You feel that? I'll tell you what, it's getting hot up here. Hallelujah. Whew. Raise your right hand to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what You have done over the last 8 months. But we know, Lord God, this is just the beginning. It's not the ending. That there's a great move of the Spirit of God coming to this church. There's a great move of the Spirit of God coming to the Metroplex area. That this whole area will be shaken by the power of Almighty God. And Lord God, we are contending for the move of Your Spirit in this area. We are contending for the fire of God to rain down upon us. We're contending for the river of God to flow like it's never flowed before. We're hungry, we're desperate, we're determined. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Do whatever You want to do with whomever, whenever. Let a fresh wind of Your Spirit blow. Let the fire of God fall here tonight. Ignite a fire on the inside of us, Lord Jesus. That God, we will never be the same. We give you honor and praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, every believer said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. You know, all it takes is one touch. All it takes is just one touch. You have an encounter with God, your life will never be the same. Are you listening to me? You have an encounter with God, your life will never be the same. You've got to be hungry. You've got to be. I mean, if you're not hungry by now, then I don't know what I can do to make you hungry, but you've got to be hungry by now. You've got to be hungry. Hallelujah. Understand something about God. He's not a respecter of persons. And in these last days, there's an army that'll be raised up. And it's an army of believers. And it's not going to be about one ministry or two ministries or five ministries. It's not going to be about a name. It's not going to be about how big of a ministry you have. It's going to be about the anointing of God Almighty. Because listen to this really carefully. At the end of the day, God gets all of the glory. And the last thing that we ever want to do is touch on the anointing or touch on the move of God. That's why other revivals have gone south. That's why other revivals have quit and shut down. Because they never kept the stream that flowed from the throne room of grace. They never kept it pure. Why do you think we're still flowing? Listen, and I spoke to my brother today, and I said, there's something about the Howard Browns, the Howard Brown brothers, you know. We're still in revival. We're still flowing with the Holy Ghost. And nothing is tainted. Nothing is, because we don't touch on the anointing. Are you listening to me? We've kept the stream that flows from the throne of grace. We've kept it pure. We're not adding to and we're not taking away. We're not coming up with all these whacked out sayings that some of these ministers come up with. I mean, some of the stuff they come up with and they've got these little phrases. What a bunch of garbage. Are you listening to me? It's all man's ideas and man's plans to try to enhance what God is doing. God doesn't need you to try to enhance what He's doing. God just does a good job all by Himself. All He wants you to do is get humble and get hungry and get thirsty and let Him change you on the inside. You don't have to make up any sayings. Oh, you listen to me. I don't want to go there tonight because then that, you know, that'll distract me. Oh, you listening? But that's what people do. They just, you know, want to enhance. There's always something like super spiritual. You know, spiritual or super special about that particular meeting. It's like, guys, you always have to label something. Can we not say Holy Ghost? Is that not sufficient? Hello? Because at the end of the day, it's all about the Holy Ghost. And if we don't have Him, we have nothing. If we don't have the anointing of God, we have nothing. If we can't hear the voice of the Lord, we have nothing. If God doesn't show up in a meeting, we don't have anything. Oh, you listen to me. We can have all the phrases and the sayings and the whatever, whatever's. Listen, it doesn't mean anything. Hello? Go study past revivals. You'll see some revivals ended up in a mess. Hello? People came out of Azusa Street demon-possessed. Yeah, because man put the finger in what God was doing. When man touches on what God's doing, it all goes south. Oh, you listen to me. When man touches on what God is doing, it's a mess. That's why we take our hands off and say, God, have your way. Do whatever you want to do. Move however you want to move. That's why we'll not dictate to God, because we're not in that position to dictate. And the moment we do, His hand will lift off us. And let me tell you what, the biggest thing I'm concerned about, I've been concerned about for years, is this, that God would wait on another generation to come through and then pour His Spirit out upon that generation. I won't tolerate that. Are you listening to me? Because I've tasted of the good things of God. Through the 90s, I tasted of the good things of God. My life was transformed by the power of Almighty God. And I can tell you right now, I'm not waiting for another generation. It's now. It's this generation we're in right now. It's upon us that the power of God's going to be poured out. And we're going to contend for that. Are you listening to me? We're going to keep it pure and we're going to keep it holy. Because we are going to see cities shaken by the power of Almighty God. And we're not going to wait for 20 or 30 or 40 years. Come on now. You might say, well, you look a little cross tonight. No, I'm just fired up. I'm very happy on the inside. My God, I've had a great weekend. Yesterday was a blur. I don't know what was. I called my wife at 2:30. I said, look, I've just had coffee this morning. And I said, I spent about an hour talking to Big John Hall and Judy yesterday. And I said, it's 2:30. I said, I lost some time. Where's the time gone? What's going on? Is it 2:30? She said, yeah. I'm like, I'm parked in the parking lot somewhere, just sitting around, talking on the phone. I'm like, why don't I go home? What's up? But I was in a state of drunkenness the whole day. Are you listening to me? So I lost some of my day yesterday. Hallelujah. It's good to get lost sometimes. Are you listening to me? We're sitting in a coffee shop talking about the things of God and revival. And then I tried to go there and I went, no. Can't go there, because I figured, listen, I'm going to go there and get drunk in the Holy Ghost and they're going to have to explain to everybody what's up with me. Should have done that. I would have liked to see the explanation. Amen. Oh. How much fun are we having? Just because of the presence of God. How much fun are we having? Hey, isn't this exciting? Church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, before we go to 1 Kings, let me get my grandbaby up here. Come here, sweetie. You want to say hello to the people? Come here. This is my grandbaby. So we were sitting down front there. My brother's up here, and she's waving at my brother. And she's like, can I go up there? So I said, no. I said, he's preaching now. I said, I'll tell you what, when Daddy preaches on Sunday, Daddy, my God. When Gaga preaches on Sunday, I'm just used to having daughters. I've got two of them sitting on the front row. I probably looked at them and thought about them. But when Gaga preaches on Sunday night, I'll get you up and you can come greet the people. So tonight we're standing down there and well, on the way over here, she was like, no, I don't want to go to nursery because I'm going to go help Gaga preach. So she's going to be 5 in just a few days, and she's a tall little girl, amen. But what a blessing she is. I mean, we just love her. Do you want to say hello to the people? Talk.
Hello.
Do you want to build a snowman? No? Okay, bye. I love you, sweetie. I love you, baby. You can go back to mommy. Love you, sweetheart. All right. Hallelujah. I tell you right now, grandbabies, how many of you got grandbabies? They just do something for you. I mean, it's crazy. Oh, you listen to me. We love our kids. I mean, I love my daughters. I love my son. But the grandbabies, You know what I mean? And I don't know who's worse, my wife or me. I think she's probably a little worse than me, but anyway. Hallelujah. Well, 1 Kings chapter 17 says, Elijah the Tishbite of the temporary residence of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go east, go from here and turn east and hide yourself by the brook Cherith east of Jordan. He said, you shall drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now listen to this real carefully. There is a place called there that every one of us have to go to. It's a place that God has ordained for His blessing and His provision to rest upon us. When we left South Africa to come to America, I was working a job back in South Africa. I was blessed. We were blessed. You know, I've shared before, $18,000 a month. I mean, that's not a bad income. I mean, you can live fairly well on $18,000 a month, right? I mean, you can get by. Hello. I mean, you can make it. You can go to, watch a movie if you really wanted to. I mean, are you listening to me? So we were blessed. We're blessed with the Lord. But when the Lord said to go to America as missionaries, I felt in my heart that if I didn't go, whatever we were at was going to dry up. In actual fact, I had like an urgency on the inside of me. We got to go. And we were coming up on the best months that produced the biggest harvest. But the Lord said, now's the time to go. We were even enticed to stay longer and go get another job with a company down on the coast. And I said, I can't do that. I got to go. Because I felt if I had stayed there, whatever the provision that the Lord had given me at that place was going to dry up. But He had provision elsewhere. Are you listening to me? And that's where we had to go. There was no debate about it. There was no discussion about it. There was no God, put out a fleece and hope that, some raindrops fall on our head or a bird flies over our head and, drops a package and we know God's, telling us to go to America. I mean, there was none of that stuff. Are you listening to me? You either know that you know that you know God sent you there or you have no clue. And we knew God called us to America. Even some of our closest friends, they tried to talk us out of it. They said, we give you a year, 1 year, and you'll be back here. You won't stay there. That was 24 years ago. It's about the longest year I've ever had. And there's nothing in sight of us going back. Are you listening to me? This is it. This is our country, America. We are Americans. Even though we're born in Africa, we're Americans. Actually, in fact, we're African Americans. That's what we are. Texas African Americans. Glory to God. I felt the anointing on that one. Praise God. But listen, when the Lord tells you to go, you have to go. There's no choice. You got to go do what He tells you to do. Some people, the Lord's given instructions in their life, and because of fear, they never went to the place. And then they wonder why the wheels have fallen off, and the car won't car, and the dog won't dog, and the refrigerator won't refrigerate anymore, and everything's in a mess, and everything's gone down the hill, and they're praying God for a breakthrough. But God's already given you a place to go for your breakthrough. But because you're not there, the provision's there, but you're not there. And let me say something. When you go to a place because God told you to go there, it does not mean to say that you aren't going to have some trials and tribulations. It does not mean to say that you aren't going to have to stand by faith and trust God with every fiber of your being every day of your life. You're going to have to do that. To get to the next level, we got to operate and live by faith. I remember, when we were doing two meetings a day, 6 days a week in the 90s, I mean, we were running everywhere all over the nation. We go into a place, do 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, and then we go to the next place. And some places we ended up doing 7 weeks, two meetings a day, 6 days a week. I remember sitting up in Detroit. This was in 94, the first year on the road. I was sitting up in Detroit in a hotel having revival there into our fourth week. And I had nothing booked because I don't book. even back then, I never really booked meetings ahead of time. And so I didn't have a meeting booked. We didn't know where we were going to go. And a pastor from Wisconsin calls me. I never met the guy before. I don't even know, even to this day, I don't even know how he got my number. But he called my hotel room. And he introduced himself. And then he said, I hear you are ending up your revival on this weekend. Would you come and have revival in Wisconsin? I said, I'll be there Sunday because we're ending on Friday night. I said, I'll fly up Sunday. So we go up there. Listen, God, that's how God's orchestrated everything, because we had come to the place called there where the provision and the blessing was or is. And so our steps are ordered of the Lord. You know, we one day we have this burning desire to go to St. Louis, Missouri, and pioneer a church. I mean, my God, I prayed long and hard on that one. I told the devil many times, "Get thee behind me, Satan! I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over those thoughts." But they would always come back. And I believe God allowed us to go to St. Louis to pioneer a church. We were there for 5 years. And then he allowed us to go to Alaska. I mean, which African wants to go to Alaska? My God. Hello. I believe God did that, then took us back down to Tampa where we helped my brother pastor for 3 years. I believe it's all in preparation for what God has down the road for us. Are you listening to me? But if we hadn't have gone to those places, the provision of God would not have been upon our life. And I tell you right now, I believe God allowed us to live in Florida. He allowed us to live in Missouri. He allowed us to live in Alaska. He allowed us to go and live in West Palm Beach. He allowed that. But I believe with all my heart that at this very moment, we are in the divine will and the plan. We're in His will right now. And God, this is where God wants us to be. Are you listening to me? Because what happened to me on the floor here, let me say this, it had something to do with the Metroplex. That's what it had to do with. I told this to Pastor Bob. I said, that floor experience I had something to do with Fort Worth and the Metroplex. See, God has a plan. We just got to get connected with Him and go with Him, and He's going to do it all. God's going to do it all. But I can tell you right now, we are going to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost right here in Calvary, right here in the city of Fort Worth. I believe that God's power is going to shake the city. Are you listening to me? Back in 93, sitting in a revival meeting in Calvary Cathedral, in the other building, sitting in that meeting, my brother's ministering, and a minister behind me tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Listen, the Lord has a word for you, and this is what it is. God said, through your ministry, a whole city will be shaken by the power of Almighty God." I remember that word like it happened yesterday. I've never forgotten it. In actual fact, every revival that's ever broken out, you know, up in Minnesota, all over the place, I've prayed, said, "God, is this it? Is this it? Oh, is this it, Lord? Is this it?" I mean, I've even been in little towns and said, "God, is this it?" And that's not a city. It's a little town. It's like a village. Are you listening? But at that time, I'll take a village. God, shake a village. I'll take that. That's fine. Hello? But it hasn't happened yet. That means it's going to. I said, that means it's going to. You know, at this time, I don't believe there's anywhere else that my wife and I could have gone. I don't believe there's anywhere else where we could have gone. We tried. We tried to move from West Palm. We tried to move back to Tampa. I mean, my one daughter's there and grandbaby's there. And my son and daughter-in-law and two grandbabies, they live there. And my family there. My mom is there. You know, we go back to Tampa and just travel out of Tampa like we've done before. We tried that. We tried that. That didn't work. I couldn't even rent a tent. and pitch it under a tree somewhere. Hello. We tried everything. We tried to buy, tried to rent, tried to do the... I mean, we couldn't find it. We couldn't find a thing. All doors, you know, when it looked like it was opening, I put a deposit down, and the next thing they're sending me my deposit back. No, we don't want you here. You got a dog. I'm like, don't you have a dog? Just because my dog is a German, you know, is that racist? Just kidding. But the bottom line is, we tried. We tried as hard as we could. Eventually, I just threw my hands up in the air and said, okay, now what? That's when the Lord blessed us with that fifth wheel, sent us on the road, and the moment we crossed the Texas border, glory of God fell on me. I said, what is that? I said, I've been across the states many times. We've crossed multiple borders across the states, different counties, different things. Never felt the presence of God, not one time, until we crossed into Texas this round. And I went, oh, glory to God. What is that, my God? That's the Holy Ghost, because I know the Holy Ghost. I thought, okay, that was just coincidental. We had revival up here, and then we went down to Illinois, and then went down to back to Florida, and then we drove back up to Texas, not even thinking about anything. Man, I crossed that border. Oh, glory to God, there it is again. We go to Christmas in Colorado, and we come back from Christmas. Oh, glory to God, can cross that border, feel that glory again. Now listen, I know what some people would do. They would just drive down to the border of Texas, they'd go out in the state, come back in, oh, glory to God. Drive back out, come back in, oh, glory to God. I mean, that's how they'd get, you know, they'd get the daily fix, man, my God. But I don't have to be crossing the border to feel the Holy Ghost, because I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. And let me say this, if we anywhere else, I don't believe provision will be there. Oh, you listen to me. I don't believe provision will be there. Provisions, yeah, because God wants us here. God brought us to Texas. I just don't know why he took so long, but he brought us to Texas. Are you listening to me? And I can tell you right now, we are here for one reason and one reason only. Revival. Revival. We've got to see the Metroplex shaken by the power of Almighty God. We have to see people getting full of the Holy Ghost, getting set on fire, and carrying the fire all around the city. We've got to see revival. And that's what I'm contending for. I can tell you right now, if we have to pitch a tent and go to every street corner in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area and have revival for a week and then move somewhere, we'll go do that. I mean, I don't really care, but we're going to have revival in the city. We're going to have revival. The power of God's going to shake the place because there's enough hungry people and we're contending for the move of God. And I'm not going to sleep on this. Are you listening to me? I mean, it's about time we had another wave come. Not that I'm complaining about between waves, because between waves, I mean, this has been heavenly. If last week was between waves, then glory to God, we can stay there till Jesus comes. But I know there's more. God has so much more that he wants to pour out upon us, that when that next wave comes, let me tell you what, that next wave is going to be laced with the blessing and the provision and the financial provision upon the body of Christ. I believe that with all my heart. And we're going to function in a different way. Everything we do will be paid for in cash. Nobody will be in debt. The ministries will be out of debt. I'm telling you right now, it's coming, people. It's coming. It's coming. I mean, it could happen next week. I mean, it could happen next week. And I can tell you right now, if it happens next week, I'm going to buy 3 new pots for you. Because we're going to bless them ferns, because they've been a blessing to me over the last 8 months. Because I can hear them shouting back there, glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on now. I mean, really, we could be anywhere in the country, but I want to be where God wants me to be. And we've gone some places over the last 24 years that some ministers wouldn't even go to. But I only went there because God wanted me to go there. Well, you listen to me. I only went there because God wanted me to go there. There were some places I didn't want to go, and the Lord said, I want you to go there. Well, if I don't go there, then I'm in trouble. Hello? It's not like we can jump the process. It's not like we can just go from 1 to 100. We got to work. God's got to do something in us. God's doing a work. He's working on the inside of us. I said He's working on the inside of us. Taking us on from glory to glory to glory to glory. Friday night was one of those take-ons to the next glory. Are you listening? Listen, if some of you, last Friday night when I got hit by the Holy Ghost, if some of you had just pressed in and stopped trying to read the underneath of my boots, if some of you had just pressed in and forgot what was underneath my boots, I'm telling you right now, you would have got a dose of the Holy Ghost. Some of you are like, what's that in his boots? Yeah, I've got writing under my boots. I've got writing under my boots. It says, what is your beef? That's what it says. And then there's two parts of the cow, one this side, one that side, and all the different cuts on the beef. That's what's under my boots. But, hello. Can you see what's under his boots? It doesn't matter what's under my boots. Just have a drink. There's another pair of boots I want to get. It's got a cross on the boot. And then underneath on the sole, it's got John 3:16. And the whole scripture's written out underneath your boot. I thought, my God, I wish I had that. Then, you know, somebody might have got saved by just reading my boot. What's his boot say? Oh, Jesus saved me. Anyway, what's under his boots? Hey, listen, there was a time that if I fell under the power of God, the only thing that would be under my boot or my shoe at that time was a hole in the sole, and you would see my sock. So thank God that that's not the case. Are you listening? Amen. You shall drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. If you go to the place that God wants you to be in, He will command His blessing upon you. God commands His blessing upon us in the place that He wants us to be. If you go anywhere else, the blessing is not there. You've got to be in the place that God wants you to be. Listen, let me throw this out at you quickly, and let's talk a little bit about church. So you're saying, I've seen this happen in our churches, but this is a very common thing. So yeah, you are in the church, you're getting blessed, the anointing's there, you're getting blessed, you're feeling at home, and then something happens and you get upset. And so hit the exit door and gone. Well, did you pray about that? Did you ask God, is it time for me to go? Should I leave God? Should I go? I'm upset with those people. I mean, how can they even do that? Well, no. Now you go off and go sit in another church. Really? Does that other church even want you? Listen, I know when I pastored the churches we pastored, new people come in, I look for attitudes right away. And if I see attitudes, I get up and preach on attitudes. And then they go off and go find another church. I don't want an attitude in the church. I want revival. I want hungry and thirsty people that are teachable, that want the move of God. Are you listening to me? So God calls you to a church to stay locked into that place, because that's where His provision and His blessings upon you. I saw people come into the River Church that we pastored in St. Louis, and literally God turned their whole life around. And for 6 months, every Sunday I would get up, and every Sunday I would prophesy over a man on the front row. And I said, God told me to tell you, you got to start your own business and stop working for all these other people, because when you do, God's going to open up the heavens and you're going to be so blessed. And listen, 6 months, every Sunday, it could have been longer than that. It irritated me. I said, God, I'm not going to tell him again today. No, you tell him. I'm preaching, and then I stop and I prophesy of this man. I'm like, how many more words do you want? Really? Do I bring a baseball bat with me, give the word, and then pop you on the side of the head? Will that help you to get a move on? Well, I tell you right now, one Sunday the Lord said to me, tell him, this will be the last time that I talk. And I said to him, let me tell you what, brother. You'll never hear this word again, because God said it's the last time that He's going to talk. And if you don't do what He said, you'll always be living in the valley. You'll always be in the desert. And I said, God told me to tell you, you have to go and start your own business. Well, he grabbed a hold of that word. And let me tell you what, he went off and started his own business, and God blessed and prospered him. He thought he died and gone to heaven. Hallelujah. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, I've seen people come along the river and come and be a part of the church and walk, go from brokenness and marriage in a mess to God restoring the marriage, restoring the children, blessing their finances. They buy a home. They get blessed of God. They get new cars. I mean, God's just prospering them. And then they get an attitude and they leave. And 6 months, 7 months, 8 months later, they're back to where they were before they went to the river. Hello. Because you see, the river was their place. There was the place they should have been. Hello. And so they left there and they wandered in the desert. And I learned something in pastoring. You know, people come along and say, well, pastor, we feel like it's time to go. Oh, no, really? Oh, I don't want to see you go. Yeah, stick around for a while. Huh. I learned. If somebody comes and said, pastor, it's time for us to go. Well, praise God. Thank you for being here. We'll stop the bus and let you off as quick as possible. Because every time we ever try to hold on to somebody, it always ended up in a can of worms. Because the last thing we want to do as a pastor is to see people leave. But if people made up their mind, then why would you want to keep them? Why do you want to keep them in the green pastures where they're getting blessed with milk and honey and the blessing of God and the anointing of God? Why would you want to keep them there? Because all they're going to do is upset the people and upset themselves and then eventually upset you. Hello. But I can tell you right now, attitudes that people have had, and I guarantee you it's around the Metroplex, any church you go to, there's always going to be somebody with an attitude. They should have an attitude of gratitude, but they've really got an attitude, and it's a bad one. Hello. And so they leave the place that God has brought them to help that ministry thrive and be blessed, and at the same time, God thrives them and blesses them. They leave and go somewhere else. And what they do is they carry their can of worms to the next church. Hey, I've come to join your church, and look at my big can of worms I've got. Anybody want to go fishing? And yes, what it does, it takes them out of the place called there, and they walk in the desert. Hello? I don't know why I even got into that, but that's for somebody here. Or maybe it's for you to tell a friend. Or maybe it's for somebody that's watching online. But I can tell you right now, people walk out of the blessing of God because of their attitude. They walk out of the blessing of God because they're not in the place that God wants them to be. I don't want to be anywhere else until God says, I want you to be somewhere else. I don't want to be anywhere else. I've had some churches in the Metroplex ask me to come and minister, and I say, listen, I can't do that because I'm at Calvary. And I said, until Pastor Bob says, hey, you know what, we're done now. I can't book myself anywhere else until the Lord says, now it's time to go. So it's between God and Pastor Bob and me. We got to do what God's called us to do. And the last thing I want to do is book myself into another church somewhere, and then I missed out on what God was doing here. Oh, you listen to me. I don't know how long it's going to run on for. I have no clue. I don't even know if Paul, he might know and just be keeping it a secret from me. But you know, right now it's just week to week, meeting to me. I mean, I don't know. Only God knows. But I can tell you right now, we are contending for revival in the Metroplex. That's our sole goal right here, is to contend for revival. We want to see the Metroplex shaken by the power of Almighty God. Because listen to this real carefully. If God can shake the Metroplex, then the whole country is coming down. I'm telling you right now, the whole country is coming down. And you know something? Let me say this to you. Because Americans are very name brand orientated. Whether it be their clothing, or whether it be an automobile, or whether it be a preacher. Very name brand. I had a pastor one day say to me, he said, I don't understand this. He said, I've got a good friend of mine in the city. I can't remember where we were, somewhere up north. He said, I've got a good friend of mine in the city. And I was in revival in this pastor's church. And he said, I called this friend of mine and said, hey, I got Basil Howard Brown here. He's having revival. I know you love revival. Why don't you come bring your people and let's jump in the river here and see what God does. So this minister said to this other friend I was with, he said, who's there? He said, Basil Howard Brown. He goes, is it Rodney Howard Brown? And he said, no, it's Rodney's brother. He said, I won't go. He said, unless it's Rodney, I ain't going. Now, I didn't lose any sleep over it. Well, listen to me. I didn't lose any sleep over it because obviously it's everybody's preference to, you know, what they want to go to. Just because it was Adidas and not Nike. I mean, I've had people come up and say, listen, we've been in your Brother Rodney's meetings and we've been in yours and we like your Brother Rodney's a whole lot more. They tell that to my face. I look at them and go, well, praise God. Do I lose sleep? No, I don't lose sleep over it. Hello. Everybody's entitled to love whoever they want to love. But if you can only receive from God from one person, you're in trouble. I said, you're in trouble. Hello. One lady told me, yeah, in this church, she said, I've been to your Brother Rodney's meetings. She caught me out there in the parking lot one day. She said, I've been to your Brother Rodney's meetings. And she said, I've been to your meetings. And she said, I can't receive from you. She said, because she couldn't receive. She said, because the voice sounds right, but the face is not. So she closed her eyes. She goes, that sounds like Rodney Howard Brown. Ah, it's not. Sounds like him. Ah, it's not. I'm looking at her. I shook her hand and said, well, God bless you so much. Then people wonder why they're not blessed of God. Hello? Listen, if there's a man standing up here and he's anointed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and he's flowing with the Holy Ghost, then I can receive whatever God has for me that day or that night. Oh, you listen to me. There's some ministers that spit three rows back while they preach. And I get nothing from it because it's not the Holy Ghost. And then others get up and just teach by the Spirit and the anointings in the house, and you go, "Woo, glory to God." I'm not looking at the face. And I sure ain't listening to the voice. I'm listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? That's like saying when God comes in this last day and moves by His Spirit, then all of us, you know, and I say us, I mean all everybody here, because, you know, maybe you're a no-name brand. At least I was Adidas and my brother's Nike. But listen, maybe you're a no-name brand. That's like saying God can't use a no-name brand. Well, I classify myself as a no-name brand. Are you listening to me? Without God, I'm nothing. I have nothing. I've got nothing. What God does through us, it blows me away. I'm humbled by what God does through us. I'm humbled over the fact that we're still sitting here 8 months later. I'm humbled by that. I'm not puffed up in pride like, well, there you go. No, it humbles me. Because I know that whatever God's doing, it has to be God and it's not me. Are you listening to me? See, God's going to use people in these last days and He's going to take them out of obscurity. There are people sitting on the backyard of the desert somewhere, stuck behind something over there, just frustrated, feel like that God's forgotten them. God hasn't forgotten anybody. But God's going to raise up people from obscurity, people that are no-name brand, and raise them up to carry the fires of revival in these last days. And listen, cities and counties and villages and towns will be shaken by the power of Almighty God. And when you look again, you're going to go, "He's a no-name brand. Who is he? I've never heard of him before." Yeah, but have you heard of the Holy Ghost? Have you heard of the Holy Spirit? Have you heard of the Spirit of the living God? Because He's doing the work. I said He's doing the work. I don't even know where we're going. I have no clue where we're at. Let me say this, every step we take from here on out is going to be a crucial step. Because either we're going to take a step in the right direction for the move of the Holy Ghost to come, or we're going to take a step in the wrong direction, and then we're going to have to get back on track. Are you listening to me? So every decision, every step we take from here on out is crucial. And I can tell you right now, I am not going to hinder or hold back the move of God in the city. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be responsible for that. Hello. I contend. I cry out to God. I weep for the city. God, send revival. Send revival. Shake this place. When I was lying on the floor here on Friday night, let me tell you something. I started crying on the inside. There were times where joy is breaking out, but there was times where I was weeping. It was coming from the inside of me, coming out. And let me tell you what I was crying for. I was crying for the Metroplex of this area. Are you listening? Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. That's what was in me. And I started crying for God. God, we've got to have revival. We've got to have a moving of your Spirit. We've got to have you come and shake the Metroplex. Dallas-Fort Worth needs the touch of heaven. People say, "What are you crying about?" The city. And let me tell you what, God was birthing something on the inside of me. Just like He did back in 93 when He dropped His fire on the inside of me and took away the fear of man and He filled me with fresh oil from heaven. Let me tell you what, that night was a life transformation. And out of 93, I've drawn from that river. I still draw from that river tonight because of the touch of heaven. And yes, God's touched me many times over through many years. But you have that like one encounter that comes along, you know, just boom, and then like Friday night, and there was suddenly something's changed. Something changed. 93 in January, something changed on the inside of me. And from that, 24 years later, Friday night, something changed on the inside of me. And it changed on the inside of me for the Metroplex. This has got nothing to do with any other state, any other place. It's got to do with right here where we're at. See, I don't believe God's finished with Calvary yet. And so let me say this. This is a church 54 years later has had a great impact on the city. Yes, it's a pastor who loves the move of the Holy Spirit, who's contending for God to touch the city. The platform of Calvary Cathedral, and I'm not talking about this thing I'm standing on. I'm talking about what Calvary Cathedral represents in the city. The platform of Calvary Cathedral is the greatest vehicle I know of that can shake this city for Jesus. Are you listening to me? Some of you didn't even get that. So maybe I'll talk about that Wednesday night. Maybe some of you know you go home and meditate on it, and then the lights will come on, and you go. I understand there's hundreds of churches in the city. But to reach the city, you've got to have the platform to do it. And you've got to have the place called there, the place that God has ordained for the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit to hit the city. Oh, you listen to me. I believe it's Calvary. I believe it's right here. You might say, well, what about our church? Your church will come along for the ride. Because there's going to be multiple churches that are going to be set on fire for God when revival comes and shakes the city. Multiple churches will be set on fire for God. But I believe Calvary is the platform that God's going to do it from. And I believe this with all my heart, that before this man goes on to be with the Lord, let me tell you what, I think he's going to be in revival, and it's going to be at the height of revival, and he's going to see what he's been believing God for all these years. Woo, glory to God. He's going to see a shaking of the city by the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I tell you right now, I was sitting in my truck yesterday, I can't remember when, pulled up at home, and I did a video on Facebook, and right after I'd done that, the Lord really began to talk to me, and he downloaded that all in my spirit. And he said, Calvary Cathedral is the platform that I would use to shake the whole city. And then he spoke to me about Pastor Bob. Listen, this is something that's been in his heart for years and years and years. And before he goes on to be with Jesus, because he will, and we all will. If Jesus tarries, we will all go on to be with him. Hello. But before he does, there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I wasn't really going to share any of that. I was just going to talk to him in private about that. But I just felt that, you know, that just came out of me. But let me tell you what, we're contending for the move of God in this place. And all it's going to take is God to look in our direction, breathe on us, and everything ignites, and then it's all over. Then the house will be filled. Balcony will be filled. And the city will be shaken. Hello? Am I just believing too big? Is this just too much? You know? Should we go picture like a 50-seater tent somewhere and just have a little move of God somewhere? Praise Jesus. And understand something. Other churches will be a part of what God's doing. Because listen, shaking the city for Jesus, it's going to take an army. I mean, it's going to take an army. We don't have enough seats in the building here for the army that God needs to raise up to shake the city. Let alone seats for the lost that are coming in. Hello? So it's going to take other churches to be a part of what God's doing. What I'm saying, what I feel in my spirit is this is going to be the platform where it's going to be ignited off of. And when that happens, other churches will come alongside automatically because their churches will be set ablaze and we'll go together to touch the nation or touch this great nation of Texas. Are you listening to me? The revival that is going to come is going to be unlike any other move of God we've ever seen. And because it's going to be about the army of God, because it's going to be about the army of God, it is going to spread like wildfire. And I can tell you right now, people will come from all over the nation and they'll get set ablaze and they'll go back and suddenly a year of revivals breaking out. Yeah, revivals over there, revivals over here. Listen, I've seen some visions. Glory to God. Do you know Sunday night? Friday night, listen, when the Holy Ghost hit me Friday night, I heard my brother say, it's 9:15. Do you know when God touched me in Ketchikan, Alaska, it was 9:15. Isn't that amazing? 9:15 in Ketchikan, Alaska, 93, God touched me by the fire. And then Friday night, 9:15, I actually struggled and after a while I got my eyes open. Well, it already said 9:60 and I was like, okay, it took me a minute to get my one eye open. Oh, you listening to me? But there's a clock down there and I saw it, 9:16, but it was 9:15 when the fire God hit me. Don't you think it's coincidental that back in 93, I'm sitting in a place called Calvary Cathedral, downtown, Fort Worth, and I get a word, God's going to shake a whole city through your ministry, and guess where we are? We're in Calvary Cathedral right now. Just a few miles away from where we were. Maybe God wants to use a no-name brand. Hello? Listen, all we can do for revival is contend for the move of the Holy Ghost. Stay hungry, stay thirsty, and press in and allow God to change us on the inside. We are not the ones that make a revival. We're not the ones that bring the fire. God's the one that sends the fire. God's the one that sends the wind of the Spirit. God's the one that says, now's the time. Fort Worth is going to be set ablaze with the fires of revival. God's the one that orchestrates all that. Just like God's the one that tells Jesus, all right, blow that trumpet and let's go and bring my children home to me. God's the one that's going to call that time. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. I feel something in the house tonight. Hallelujah. And let me say something. This has got nothing to do with me. It doesn't even need to come through me. It just needs to come. Now, do I believe I'm going to be a part of it? You better believe I'm going to be a part of it. But it doesn't have to come through me. You know, now Rodney was here this last week, and now he's coming back again. I'm like, you know what? Bring him back one more time, because here's the thing. We need as much revival going on in this place. We need as much stuff to bust down and break loose and move on to the next level. So, hey, I'm okay with all of that. As long as it's revival and the move of the Holy Ghost, I'm okay with all of that. Hello. Let me tell you something. When your life is transformed by the power of Almighty God, and some of you are visiting here this evening and your life's transformed and you go back to your church and then they look at you on a Sunday and see, my God, how come you're so happy? Why are you full of joy? How come you're so blessed? Oh, I've been down there at Calvary Cathedral. We in revival. We having a drink of the Holy Ghost. Listen, they're coming, especially if you were a grouch, especially if you had an attitude. Suddenly the attitude's all gone. Then they look at you and go, my God, if God can change you, he can change me. If God can fill you, he can fill me. Hello? I tell you right now, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I sure ain't ashamed of what God's doing in the house. And I don't care who's sitting on the front row or the second row or the third row. I don't care who they are. I know God. I know the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you right now, we need a move of God. I remember back in the 90s, I went into a revival meeting. I was in Seattle, Washington, and they had pitched a tent in the Kmart parking lot. The church had pitched a tent, and we were having revival in that tent. And I walked into the building, the tent that night, and I looked at the crowd. The place was jam-packed with people. I looked in the front row, and there's a minister, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he's still there in Seattle, got a very large church. And I looked at him, and I recognized him from the back of his head. I went, oh my God, he's here. What is he doing here? So now my mind is just running around like crazy. Like I'm thinking, okay, I can do one of two things. I can just go in and get this meeting over and done with. Or I can go in there and just let it all hang out and just do whatever God wants to do. And so you know what I did. Listen, they carried his wife out of the place. They carried her out. She said she wanted to know from one of the ushers, why did I come down and slap her? I said, I didn't even touch her. She was down there, and I threw a cloth at her, and the power of God knocked her on the floor. I mean, God slapped her up the side of the head. I'm preaching on prosperity, and that preacher's sitting in the front row, and he's sitting on the edge of his chair, and he's writing down stuff. He goes, now I'm going to use that. I'll tell everybody you said it once, but then it becomes mine. I said, hey, you can take it all. And when I called a line to pray, he was out of his seat. He was the first one in line. And I'm thinking to myself, I should be in his line. He shouldn't be in mine. Oh, you listen to me. God take you places and put you in front of people that you wouldn't imagine. And it's not because of you. It's because of what you allow the Holy Spirit to do in a meeting. God's moving like he is because I don't want to get in the way. I don't get in the way. God does what he does because he's in control. Hello? You know, you have to look at the thing. I can't be Rodney. Oh, you listen to me. I can't be Rodney. I cannot. It's hard enough being a Basil. I mean, I work at being a Basil every day. How can I work at being a Rodney? First of all, I mean, he's yay big. So that's already a problem for me. Are you listening? Don't say I said that, Pastor Bob. Don't tell him now. But I don't want to be anybody else but me. Now listen, I know of ministers that have actually gone out to carry revival, and they talk like Rodney, they mimic him, they tell all his stories. You know, he has a story that he tells about when we were kids and we stuck a finger in the electric light socket and how, you know, have you heard that story? Anybody heard that one? Yeah. Jesus, help me. Where have you all been? I'm not going to tell it tonight because, you know, but it was a life transformation that we had because we didn't know about electricity and we'd stick our finger back in Africa. The plugs are a little different. You can stick your finger right in the socket. And my mom said, don't do that. And he did it and he screamed and he got a whipping for doing that. And then he came and told me, Basil, never do that. And of course, I went and did it. And then he heard the scream and he goes, I know what's happened. And then I got a whipping for sticking my finger in there. And at that age, I didn't understand about, you know, how metal is a conductor of electricity. So I took a metal knitting needle and I stuck that in the hole. And of course, there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I got a whipping for that. Are you listening to me? And my life was never the same. Maybe that's why I look like I look and walk like I walk. And I don't know, but it changed my life. But let me say this. There's a minister that went out and would tell those stories. Really? Like a parrot. I'm thinking, man, get your own stories. If you want to talk about electricity, go stick your finger in the electric light socket now. Go put a knitting needle in there and you can tell people what you did. Why do you want to tell people what other people did? Hello. But you see, they want that anointing, so they want to go and mimic what they see. You can't mimic what you see. It's not his anointing, it's God's anointing. The administration that he does is different to the administration that I do. I don't want to do it the way he does it. I want to do it the way God wants me to do it. That's the only thing. Are you listening? There's more than one road that leads to Rome. Hello? We can go this way around the mountain, or we can go this way around the mountain, or we can go over the mountain. But you'll always end up at the same result. So if we go around this side of the mountain and he goes around that side of the mountain, the end result is people getting set free, healed, delivered, saved, fire of God on them, power of God changing their life, healing their marriages, people getting healed in their body. I mean, the same results. We just took a different route. Hello. And I guarantee you, when the fire of God falls upon you and changes your life, you'll take a different route too. But the end result will be revival. Are you listening to me? Have you had a look around you? Have you had a look at anybody else in the building? Is there anyone that looks the same as you? No, everybody's different. Hello. That's the diversity that God is. There's not even a fingerprint that's the same. So why would God raise up people to be like a cookie cutter and go and deliver the same thing the same way, do the same thing everybody else does, and we have revival? No, God doesn't do that. He uses everybody's personality. You're different, you're stronger, you're softer, God just does. That's the way God does it. And everything that happens, you know, we've been laying foundation over the last 8 months and putting some building blocks in place. And this is my wife's description of the whole thing. Putting some building blocks in place for revival, for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. My brother come in and he come from a different angle, different stuff. And he put some building blocks in place. And we're building the foundation. Hey, when, you know, we might start building the walls here. And when he come back in, he put the windows in. But whatever it's going to be, the end result is going to be revival. This city being shaken by the power of Almighty God. Hello? Are we all on the same page here, huh? Are we all happy? I mean, I don't even know if I can go back to where I was. I think I've left that passage of Scripture a long time ago. I mean, I look at it and go, really? The end result of this passage of Scripture is that he went to the brook and he was blessed. Then he went to Zarephath and he was blessed. Hello? We go where God wants us to go and we're going to be blessed. I said, we go where God wants us to go and we're going to be blessed. We go where God wants us to go and his anointing will flow. And the provision will be there to do whatever we have to do to get the job done. Are you listening to me? And people will come and they'll get saved and set free and healed and delivered by the power of Almighty God. Because you've gone to the place called there, the place that God wants you to be. And let me tell you what, it takes a step of faith. When we left Florida to travel the nation one more time, and we had prayed and said, God, the next place we go to when we settle down, could it be the last place we move? Because we've moved many times over the years. And, you know, I've got grandbabies, and I wanted them to have a place to come. And, you know, one of our desires was to have some horses. We love horses, and so we already have two. And you know what? There's more on the way. I know that. I can see it. There's more on the way. I've got daughters. I've got grandbabies, and they're all going to want to get a horse. Well, that's the way the Howard Browns roll. You know, we don't get one dog. We get three. Hello. We don't have one kid or two kids. We have four. We're above the average. Keeping the population going. Are you listening to me? I know God's brought us here for a reason and a purpose. And when we left Florida, we had no clue. We had no clue. We prayed. We go through Missouri. God, we're coming back here. Is this what it is? Nothing. We go to Illinois. Nothing. We prayed. I prayed about every place we'd ever been. I prayed about Minnesota. You know how many times I asked God when we're having 2.5 year revival up there? You know how many times I asked God, you want me to move up here? I mean, I might as well move up here. I don't want to, but I might as well move up here. You said, why don't you want to? Have you ever been in Minnesota in winter? My God. It's worse than Alaska. I had a friend of mine in Alaska. I called him up and said, man, it's minus 34 degrees here. He goes, well, it's only minus 10 over here. I'm like, my God, I'm coming back to Alaska. And it's minus 34 to minus 40 degrees for 4, 5, 6 days in a row. Minnesota. Ugly. Lovely people. I love you. I love you guys. I really do. Lovely people, but my God, the weather. Oh, Jesus, help me. I prayed so many times. God, you want me to move? I'm sure he was getting tired of me. I'm sure he would have said if I'd asked him one more time, he'd go, yeah, move. And then I'll move you back out again. I mean, I kept asking, do you want me to move? Want me to move? No. Because I want to just be where he wants me to be. I'm so thankful. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for not saying yes to Minnesota. Now, I'm sure if he had said yes to Minnesota, we would have been happy, because that's where God would have taken us. It would have taken us a while to get happy. Hello? So when we left Florida, it took a step of faith. Everything we've ever done has taken a step of faith. When God said, go pioneer a church in St. Louis, it took a step of faith. We had to take a step of faith to do that. We had nothing. We had nobody. We didn't know anybody. We had revival there a few times, but we didn't know anybody. Hadn't been there for years. Showed up in the city, found a place to live, rented a place, and found a school and started the church. 120 people showed up. I'm like, my God, where did these people come from? Oh, you listening to me? But it took a step of faith. No guarantees. There's no guarantee. We're not going on a guarantee. We didn't come to Texas on a guarantee. And we also didn't come to Texas to start a church. We didn't come for that reason. We came here to have revival. We come here to see. We want the place shaken by the power of God. Listen, Texas, Fort Worth area doesn't need another church. What they need is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. What they need is the existing churches to grab a hold of what God wants to do in the city and then shake the whole city through what is already there. There's already an infrastructure of churches and people. We just got to get them on fire for God. Are you listening to me? So when I talk about churches we started, that's got nothing to do with Texas, because that's not even on the agenda. Are you listening to me? We just got to have revival. We got to see the sparks of revival, and then just that explosion take place. That's what we want to see. Hello?